¿Qué sería de mí si no me hubieras alcanzado? ¿Dónde estaría hoy si no me hubieras perdonado? Tendría un vacío en mi corazón, vagaría sin rumbo, sin dirección. Si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor.
Aleluya. So let's move on to the next level, precious people. The book of John chapter 1, I'm reading verses 1 to 5. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 3. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Hallelujah. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. You see the light that the Lord brought to the world, the dark world? In Him was light, and that light was the life of men. You immediately begin to see that there was death and darkness upon the fall of Adam. And now He brings light, which is the life for men. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has never understood it. Listen, precious viewers, this is absolutely critical to the church, because I am still exploring the fact that the Lord made a sweeping, everlasting statement when He said, I am the light of the world. That means He brought a certain light that is the life that we needed so we can bear the life of the Lord, hallelujah, that the dying world can tap upon, can see and find Christ. And that life is given unto us by the light that the Lord brought unto the dark world. You see that? And that's why it was absolutely necessary for the 10 virgins to pick a lamp each before they stepped out in the darkness. I'm just exploring on the darkness why the Lord said He would come in the midnight, in the heart of the darkness, and why it was necessary for the virgins, the 5 wise virgins, 5 foolish virgins, to carry their lamps. And once you will understand this, then you can understand also the requirements of the Lord on what quality of light you ought to emit in the dark world so you can be able to enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Remember, there are other counterfeit lights and fires and lamps. We are familiar very well with Nadab and Abihu, who lit some strange fires even before the Lord. So there are other fires too. But I want to walk you very slowly in that direction, so we may be able to know even how the wise virgins entered into the kingdom of God. Now, the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, this is what he says. Matthew 5, 13 to 16, he says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? And he says, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and be trampled by men. That is very critical if you really want to understand the distinction between the 5 foolish virgins and the 5 wise virgins. Let me bring it to another level. The church that fails to enter the rapture and the church that makes up the perfect bride of Christ and enters the rapture. He says, when she loses her saltiness, she has to be trampled, rejected, as in to tell you the truth, I do not know you. Hallelujah. And then he goes to verse 14 and says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light up a lamp and put it under a bowl. In other words, under a roof. Hallelujah. Called a church. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Hallelujah. Do you begin to understand why the virgins had to take their lamps and go out? Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, hallelujah, and praise your Father in heaven. I think this is absolutely deep right now, because he is bringing in another factor now. That light is not an ornamental light, like I said, just a decorative light, ya maridadi, but that light is a reflection of the light of the world that is our Lord Jesus, that the wise virgins have been able to tap from. Hallelujah. No wonder they cease to remain in the house, in the four walls of the church, and now they step out wearing the image of Christ, the Son of the living God, who said, I am the light of the world, meaning the dark world. I am the light of the dark world. And they too, taking up the commission now, stepping out into the darkness, that men may see now the good deeds. That means that light brings forth the good deeds. Hallelujah. The good deeds of the Holy Spirit. Let me jump ahead of myself here. Hallelujah. The good deeds of the Holy Spirit. Down the line, I'm going to speak about the fruits of the Spirit that comes with the light. And why the oil is the Holy Spirit. Let me jump ahead of myself here. But it's very important to understand that that light is supposed to be seen by the dying world, by the lost souls. He says, we cannot light up that light and put it under a barn or under a roof. If these ones have received the Lord, let us seek out and find people that have not known the Lord, from different religions, from different backgrounds, so we can evangelize to them, so they too may find the light that we have found. And remember that you too, somebody had to step out to evangelize to you, so you could receive the Lord and be the bearer of the light of the Lord, the light of the world. Hallelujah. And so he says very clearly here that the virgins had to take the lamps, because the Lord says, you are the light of the world. So it was absolutely necessary that they take up the lamps as they are going out in the darkness. That when the world will see them, the world will see the good deeds of the Lord and give praises unto the Lord God our Father in heaven. In other words, they too may believe and find light. They too may believe and step out of darkness. Hallelujah. To bring it to another level, that they too may believe and step out of the death that characterizes the darkness. Because very clearly we have seen that when he came in John chapter 1, he brought the light, and that light became the life of men. Hallelujah. What a mighty, mighty time for the church. Let's move on as we continue to look at the darkness. Why did the Lord say that the rapture church has to finally pick up the lamp and step out in the darkness? What is in this light and darkness? And that's what I'm trying to dissect for you here, so the church may understand very clearly, without confusion, without ambiguity, there is a certain requirement, there is a certain quality, a certain threshold, a certain minimum within the quality of the light that the church needs to carry for her to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins, all of them had their lamps lit. But only the wise virgins are able to make it into the kingdom of God. To me, that's the most important peak and finality of the waiting process, that you may enter into the kingdom of God. And we are seeing very clearly here that the light that they carry has its genesis, its beginning in the light of the world. And that to me is so critical, because it brings into picture who lit their lamps. Hallelujah. If you are going to be a bearer of the light that comes out of Christ Jesus, the light of the world, there is no other except that your lamp is lit by Christ. And I'm asking you already, those of you that are listening, who lit your lamp? Whose lamp are you bearing? Hallelujah. But let's move on. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, we're still advancing on the same understanding that there was an absolute need to carry a lamp as the church waits for the bridegroom, because there is darkness out there. But what does the Lord tell us about this lamp she carries? Is she just carrying an ornamental lamp, a decoration, and she waits? We are seeing that absolutely no. There is a requirement of a certain quality in the lamp she bears. In fact, we are even seeing now that there are several counterfeit lights. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 to 24. This is what he says here about the light that the church goes out with in the darkness to wait on the Lord. Again, Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 all the way to 24. This is what the Lord says. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light." Verse 23 says, "But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, then how gross, how great is that darkness?" Again, to bring it to another level, you begin to understand why the Lord was talking about the need for the church to be the bearer of the light, to carry the light and go out in the darkness. And now it dawns on the church that the light they are carrying, the light the church is carrying in the darkness of the world, in the dark world, is essentially a reflection of the state of the church. Hallelujah. Because it says, your eyes are the lamp of your body. Now, it is very critical we understand that when the Lord was speaking about the 10 virgins going out with light in the darkness, he essentially implied that when the world will look at the lamp, when the world will look at the light emitted, hallelujah, from the church, then the world will be able to know how much light there is in the church. In other words, the world will be able to find light. Hallelujah. There is no way, this is what the Lord is saying, there is no way that the church would carry a light that does not reflect her state of being. And that's why he says, your eyes are the lamp of the body. If there is going to be darkness inside you, then all you'll emit is darkness. And that brings us very close to the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of repentance. We know very clearly that for the church to receive Christ, for the church even to have been created, she must have repented. Hallelujah. And that's why the Lord is emphasizing mightily the need for the church to be able to reflect herself in the light she emits. Now, I know already you're beginning to ask, what is the difference in the quality of light that the wise virgins were emitting compared to what the foolish virgins emitted? And it's absolutely clear that in the beginning, all the lamps were lit. All the lamps gave the same quality of light. But there is a certain requirement of the peak and time that brings a lot of weight, a lot of load on the lamps. And that's why there is the burning out of lamps. But let's move it to another level so you can understand it clearly. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. Still talking about the lamp and the light, but the wise virgins were able to emit which lamp and light allowed them to enter the kingdom of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. This is what it says here. "You are sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." Hallelujah. "For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled." That's the second time it says self-controlled. "Putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation of our Lord Jesus." And it goes on and on. So you see very clearly here that essentially when the Lord spoke about the virgins that went out with their lamps giving light into the darkness of the world, the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins going to wait for the rapture, wait for the coming of the Lord outside, they stepped out into the darkness, essentially implied that when the men of the world, when the world will look at the light they emit, the world should be able to see the salvation of our God through our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And that is bringing us even closer and closer to the oil, because how can the world see the salvation of Christ in the church? That means there are certain things the world would need to see in the life of the five wise virgins, that is the remnant church, that's the redefined remnant bride of Christ. There are certain attributes of her life that this light is supposed to emit so that the world may find the life of Christ. Hallelujah. And he continues on by saying that the salvation of our Lord is what the world should see. Salvation meaning redemption from sin. Hallelujah. And he says, we cannot continue living in the darkness or living as children of the night, of the dark. And you see in the same scripture he's saying, those who get drunk, they get drunk in the night. So we begin right away to see very clearly that the light that the bride of Christ is supposed to emit into the dark world should be free from the wickedness and the evil of the world. Because he says, all evil and wickedness takes place in the darkness, in the night. Hallelujah. What a tremendous time for the church. I just finish up with Revelation chapter 22. We are still dealing with the light that the Lord allowed the perfect bride, the five wise virgins, to emit. And it becomes absolutely clear that for the five wise virgins to have emitted the rightful light that makes them the bearers of the light of the world that cometh from the Lord Jesus, for them to have been able to emit the right quality of light into the dark world, then their lamps must have been lit by Christ. Hallelujah. So they can be able to carry the light of the world, the light that is Christ. But how about the light that the five foolish virgins were bearing? It is very important to realize that they too had their lamps lit by Christ. Hallelujah. No wonder all of them were born again. The book of Revelation chapter 22 verse 5 even brings you closer to understanding this. Revelation 22 verse 5. Look at what he says about the New Jerusalem. He says, there will be no more night in the New Jerusalem. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. I'm using this scripture that you may be able to understand that essentially it is Christ that lit the lamps when the virgins were stepping out. Hallelujah. Because even in the New Jerusalem, where Christ will be, he tells us here, there will be no darkness. And yet there will be no sun, no need for the moon, because the light that is Christ will be present in that city. And so right away you begin to understand that the light that the church that enters into the rapture is supposed to emit is a light that brings salvation unto the dying world. Hallelujah. And the only light that can bring salvation to the dying world is the light that is lit by Christ, the Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Let's move to another level now. The book of John chapter 8. Let's finish with that, verse 12, so we may finish with the light. Just understanding, what did the Lord mean by the light, the lamps that they carried? John 8, verse 12. Hallelujah. Why did the Lord require of the church that waits on the rapture to carry a lamp? What is it about this light? Now you're beginning to understand even deeper that inside this light is the identity of Christ. No wonder inside this light is the life of Christ. Now the book of John chapter 8, I'm reading verse 12. He says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you now begin to understand why it's so important to understand the character of this light that the virgins stepped out with? You don't want to step out with another light. Then it will be a lot of wasting of time. Because he said, I am the light of the world, and whoever wants to follow me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now listen to something interesting here. I am going to advance you to the next level where you will begin to understand that even as the virgins stepped out with the lamps were lit, there was a certain efficiency with which the lamps were lighting. It's called the wick of the lamp. When you light up the lamp, there is a wick that sucks the oil, and the oil goes on to light. And when you have a new lamp that is just lit, it will burn with a certain efficiency when you step out in the darkness. But the more you burn this lamp, the more the lamp becomes more efficient, hallelujah, in drawing the oil, in emitting the light. You are removing the soot. Soot is the kind of smoke that you first see when the lamp is beginning to light. Becomes more and more efficient, which means even the Christians and the church that goes out there to wait on the Lord, when that church begins to burn to emit the light and the life of Christ unto the dying world, she will begin to exude more light, more fruit of that light. She will begin to grow and mature more and more into the things of the salvation of our Lord Jesus that will draw more and more of the dying world into the salvation of our Lord. You see that? To begin to draw more and more of the dying world into Christ. So that will make this church, the five wise virgins, continuously walking this path, walking efficiently because their lamps are emitting the bright light, the good light, not stumbling and falling, thereby allowing them to mature up. Hallelujah. No wonder he says he's coming for a perfect and a mature bride. Hallelujah. So when the winds of the world will come, they will not be swayed left and right, be extinguished, but will be able to withstand the storms of the peak hour, that is the midnight hour. Hallelujah. So there is an efficiency factor here. As the virgins step out and their lamps begin to burn towards the midnight hour, and in so doing, I'm drawing you closer and closer to the fruit of the lamp, of the light, and of the life that the five wise virgins were giving to the dark world, the fruit. Essentially, I am moving you closer in this teaching towards the oil, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let us continue, precious people, and look at what is it that is in this light that the Lord spoke. I just want us now to look at close to the midnight hour. What happens close to the midnight hour? As the midnight hour draws closer and closer, what happens now to the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins, their lamps, and even their waiting process? Hallelujah. What is the Lord speaking to you as the rapture church, the end time church, even the remnant among you that will enter? By the way, not all of you will enter. That's why it's very critical, it's imperative that you pay specific attention to this, that it may enter every fabric of the architecture of the fiber of your hearts. So you may leave this word, so you may be able to enter into the kingdom of God. In fact, if you can listen to me very carefully, what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking here now, he is saying, look, we are at the gate of the entrance into the kingdom of God. And he is now sorting out the remnant of the remnant who is entering into the rapture. This is what the Lord is talking about here. That when it comes finally to the gate, and those all have heard the voice, all have heard the trumpet, when it comes now to the finality of who actually enters, it will boil down to the quality of the light and the life of Christ that you emitted as a Christian. But let's look at the dying moments, the midnight hour. What happens at the midnight hour? Hallelujah. There are several factors here that the Lord is speaking to the church. He says, at the midnight hour, all the lamps go low. That's what we see. When the midnight hour came, all the lamps were going low. In other words, getting burnt out. Both the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. At the midnight hour, we also see that all the wicks needed to be trimmed. Hallelujah. The foolish virgins woke up and trimmed the wicks of their lamps. So did the wise virgins wake up and trim the wicks of their lamps. Hallelujah. As the midnight hour grew closer, we see very clearly the fact that the lamps were going low. But one thing stands out clearly, that a state of anxiety sets in. The foolish virgins and the wise virgins woke up anxious, trimming their lamps, because the sounding of the voice of the archangel has been heard. There is a state of fear. The foolish virgins are asking for oil from the wise virgins. There is a state of panic. There is a storm that sets in, threatening to kill all the lamps. Hallelujah. There is a state of inability, because you see very clearly all the lamps needed to have their wicks trimmed. That means the way the lamps were burning from when the 10 virgins first stepped out to the way they are burning now that the archangel has sounded the midnight cry are two different levels. Now we see that the lamps are going low. And we see that all the 10 lamps are going low. But we also see that the 5 wise virgins are exactly the same as the 5 foolish virgins until the midnight hour sets in. Hallelujah. That is when all of a sudden the 5 wise virgins are distinguished from the 5 foolish virgins. Hallelujah. And yet we see that antes, previous to that, hallelujah, the wise virgins, they too had their lamps going low. Which means in their inherent ability to sustain, to keep the waiting going, to keep the preparation going, they too were failing. That speaks of the fact that the foolish virgins and their counterparts, the wise virgins, that means the two churches did not have enough capability to carry on through into the wedding of the Lamb. They did not have their own inherent power enough to carry them through, and thereby making a marked difference between the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. And that difference being the external support. Hallelujah. The external consecrated anointing oil. Hallelujah. And so, before we go into that, I want to look at something more. Let us look at the bridegroom that is coming. Before we look at this external supply of support that only the wise virgins had. How about the bridegroom? We hear he has been announced. He is coming. What do we know about the bridegroom? Number one, just to clear the air, to make sure we are on the same page, the bridegroom comes in the darkness of the night. Hallelujah. He does not come in the light. Which means it was so critical for the 10 virgins to have stepped out of the church, out of the house, to go into the darkness. Because that is where the bridegroom is coming into, hallelujah, to pick his bride. Number two, there is a midnight cry that announces the coming of the bridegroom. He comes and he takes only the virgins that have the oil. That means the coming of the bridegroom to pick his bride is related to the oil. Because the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 7 to verse 9 says, the entire heaven said, let us rejoice and be glad, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. Why? For his bride has made herself ready. But now we are seeing that the only way the bride would have made herself ready is if she had the anointing oil. She had the Holy Spirit. So it means the coming of the bridegroom is directly related to the availability of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
¿Qué sería de mí si no me hubieras alcanzado? ¿Dónde estaría hoy si no me hubieras perdonado? Tendría un vacío en mi corazón, vagaría sin rumbo, sin dirección. Si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor, si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor.